You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Cropod contains language and themes which may not be suitable for anybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Cropod, and of course, joining me, Shane, is David Edgar. Hi, David.
Hello, everyone. Hi. Yes, hi, Shane. Hi, Todd. It's nice to be back here, our weekly transatlantic, whatever this is. growing increasingly popular, Shane. I noticed you sent out some charts on the old Twitter machine.
Yeah, I gotta think that the good pods people, you know, it's like a. It's a smaller indie network thing, which is still quite popular for a podcasting platform. I mean, obviously, everything is Apple or Spotify, or at least 90% of the market is. But it's nice to have a little guy trying to help me out. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, well, yeah. I just would like to point out that this has come since you ditched all those losers that were on the original one and got me and Todd.
I will also point out, David did appear on the original one, and I don't think he wants me to pull out the audio from that. So,
I'd go to jail for it now. The only thing about it, the thing is though, that Shane said to me, like, you want to come on the show? I said, yeah, sure. And then after like an hour, I was like, when does this end? And then after an hour and a half, I was like, when does this end? And Shane says, oh, we usually go 4 hours. And I went, no, I'm not doing it. And I fucked off midway through the recording.
Well, that was kind of because that was when Todd's fellow Canadian, Ross EJ Hendry, showed up basically. It's kind of like the Royal Rumble of podcasting back then. It's like David didn't even get thrown over the top rope. He eliminated himself. And
my god,
he picked up Andre's music. Holy shit.
Yeah, he picked up the chair, he hit himself in the face, and then went, thank you. Good night.
I just said, I'm sorry, lads. I've got there's a brilliant story actually about a Royal Rumble. I can't remember the name of the wrestler, and I apologize. But they were going through the eliminations, and he said, look, is there any chance I could go about 20 minutes earlier? And they were like, well, sure, yeah. Why? And he said, so I can beat the traffic.
I mean, honestly, if you're one of the mids, you're getting the same paycheck anyway. I don't think it really matters.
That's what he said. Yeah. He said, look, I live 4 hours from here. I've got a rare chance, because this was back in the, you know, you're on the road 300 days a year thing. He says, I've got a chance to go home. And if I could, you know, if I get at the end of the night when there's 20,000 people streaming out, that'll add another hour and a half out of my job. Right. So, he got eliminated halfway through.
Hi, Todd.
I am. I'm just glad now that we're talking about podcast history, I'm glad that you took Ross Hendry from the 3 hour episodes of We Are the People and then added it into the 3 hour episodes of Cropod. I'm not saying there's a correlation there. I'm not. I'm just saying.
There was a whiskey coefficient to Hendry's appearance.
Yes. There was my wife would see me coming out of the studio. And she would go, how do you talk for 3 hours about a game that lasts 90 minutes? And I go, I don't know. We just, it happens.
To be fair back then, we spent about 25 minutes talking about the match and 2 hours talking about what the fuck had happened, you know.
Exactly.
Behind that week.
There's a lot of shit going on.
Yeah.
David, I don't know about you, but I am resplendent in the dying days of the smooth sack summer that's going on right now. I am so pleased with this.
No, I'm not.
Happy they're back.
Yeah, they're back yet again. Ball shaving adverts on. and can I just thank the Patreon listener, because we don't put the ads on Patreon.
Yeah,
right? It's one of the perks of subscribing. I don't think
same with the Cropod. So.
I don't think if you pay money, you should get it. So you know that's one of the things we do. But the guy said, "Well, look, I'm looking for the code though," and I was like, Why? He's like, well, to shave my balls, basically. No, well, you.
I was going to get one for my brother-in-law. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. My brother-in-law.
Right. I couldn't help but notice you look like a man who's got very sweaty testicles. So happy Christmas. Yeah,
David, I can't say this enough. I don't know how many times I need to say it. I know you hate doing them. Send me a free one. I'll do it. Professional voice actor here. The timber.
They send me four, and they send me a script, even though I've never once read the script, because you're supposed to say if you use the product, and we're sponsored by NordVPN.
Right.
And them I'll say, because I do. You know,
I think product, quite a few right? Rangers fans use their products. I'm not sure what the correlation is there.
We're allowed to say that this year. They actually told us last year. They said to us, look, you know, can you avoid saying basically what it's for? But this year, no, that you can come out and say you can watch television in a country you're not in. So there seems to be a bit of a so maybe they're just coming clean with it and just getting to the
right. It's kind of like, you know, when Viagra in its first initiations was a test for heart condition, like it was for high blood pressure.
Right,
and then they just went, how do we hide this? Like we can do donut ring toss with this thing. And I was like, we made boner pills. We made boner pills.
Reminds me of that one in The Simpsons where they're testing the drugs and the Homer goes blind and the woman says, who's going to buy a pill that makes you go blind? And she says, that's up to marketing to figure out.
Oh man. All right, football. Let's get the boring stuff out of the way quick.
Let me open up with this because I have a bone to pick with both of you.
Oh.
I'm a little cross because you guys are doing the 50th anniversary of Watergate. Yep. So you got your heads up your asses on American politics. Right. Focusing on the past, not the present. When were you going to tell me that Donald Trump Jr. was managing PSV Eindhoven? When were you going to let me know? I know he's trying to distance himself from his dad, but that's a bit of a career
rude
shift.
Rude, I think.
I think if Eric Trump was trying to manage PSV Eindhoven, he would be currently managing IFK Gothenburg after the law.
Exactly, yeah. So, P-A-O-K.
Very, very neat beard, Rude.
Very much.
But brilliantly, and occasionally, by the way, I have to sort of catch myself, right? Because I was sitting there and, you know, at the press conference, all the Champions League brand and journalists from all over the world. And I'm sitting going, bloody hell, you know, I'm just sitting here in the press conference with Ruud van Nistelrooy, you know. It does occasionally, Alex Ferguson walking by you and stuff. But there was a lovely moment.
He had a good seat last night. I wasn't mad.
Boy, did he.
he did. But I think... Rangers are not going to stick him in with the fucking Union Bears, let's be honest. Right? No. He said, Alex, for Christ's
but
sake.
He was sitting beside John Gray.
He was. A good friend of his. Yeah, they've been you know, friends for, I think, 70 years or so, or at least 60. So, you know, you're sitting there and you're listening. And there was a nice moment because UEFA have got this daft rule, right? Which I'm going to explain, that you have to conduct the press conference in one language only unless there is an official UEFA translator there, right? And it can't be just a translator, incidentally. It has to be an official UEFA approved one. So Rangers were waiting and she wasn't supplied in time for theirs, so they had to stick to just English only because majority of people there were English, right? Now this woman appeared and she was lovely. She was so nice. She was just a kindly wee woman, but she was incredibly, incredibly nervous. I actually think this might have been her first translation job.
Oh no.
And she just, like, at one point she translated Dutch into Dutch. And
hard to do.
Yeah. And then, like, last night, so Ruud van Nistelrooy comes in and the first question's in Dutch, even though the PSV press officer speaks perfect English, and Ruud answers it in Dutch. And then everyone looks around at this wee woman who just turns bright red, clearly doesn't want to be there. She starts, and she was kind of stammering her answers and stuff. And then at the end, she got to eventually, and you know that way you're just looking at your shoes and you're like, oh, please, Ed, can this please end? And then Ruud van Nistelrooy, who speaks better English than I do, says, actually, what I said was this. And then says it all. And so he can't, even though UEFA will not allow the man who speaks perfect English to translate his Dutch. So the UEFA official comes over and said, no, you, it needs to be her. And he's like, why?
You know, like, right.
You know, all this shit this week, it brought me back to Ichiro Suzuki, who was the great ball player with the Mariners, and he would always travel with a translator. And, you know, David, me and you were talking a little bit after the presser. You know, Gio just maybe isn't as comfortable in his English as he would like to be.
No, he's not.
Ichiro spoke, you know, as you're saying about Van Nistelrooy there, better English than most of the journalists in the room, but just would not do it. But beyond that, he was fluent in Spanish, too, to the point where, like, all the Latin American players he would fuck around with on the ballpark with them. One of the greats that was coming up is he just went to the Mariners Hall of Fame. And, of course, he'll end up in the Baseball Hall of Fame the second he can. But there's been a lot of Ichiro stories going around lately. And one of my favorites that had come up again was when Bob Casas asked him what his, like, favorite Americanism was. And he said, Kansas City's... hotter than two rats fucking in a wool sock.
Nice.
But it's not in Kansas.
Oh, yeah, no. That too. That confused him more than anything, right?
Yeah, like Dorothy. I know UEFA like daft rules, and Shane and I will talk about this, and one of it is officiousness, but the other one with UEFA is so they can fine you. It's a money-making scheme for them. Yeah, yeah. Some of the fines that they levy on you are ridiculous. But, surely, by all means, have an official UEFA translator there, right? Because there are plenty of managers who will only speak one language or don't feel particularly comfortable jumping between the two. That's the thing for a lot of people who are multilingual. It's the jump that's difficult, you know, to go immediately from. But for others, why not just say to them, are you happy to conduct this in one language? Because Ruud van Nistelrooy could quite easily have done the bit. Gio, I think, would prefer not to. He would prefer to just stick to one language or the other so he can focus on it. But Ruud van Nistelrooy could swap, and did swap between, like, at one point he's speaking in Dutch. The question, I think, was, what did Sir Alex Ferguson say to you? And at one point he's talking away in Dutch, which, by the way, Todd, sounds like someone spitting at you. And
it sounds like German and Russian having a fight.
And you're like, Jesus, Ruud, can me a towel? But then he goes, I'm very proud of you, Ruud. Right. And I was like, this is not a guy who needs a translator.
Right. The fact that he sat on being able to speak perfect English and held back, despite UEFA having the translator there and him really kind of trying to take care of her. But the fact that he held out to the last moment is the most fucking Dutch thing on the planet. It's just like, I'm going to wait. Okay, here we go.
It was just at the end, because he was trying to be nice. That's the thing. He really was. And he just said, and what I said as well was, and sort of listed it. But it's just a UEFA roof you don't have her there.
This is what, you know, because, I mean, I was talking about it on Twitter, obviously, and it fucking confused me. All right, the only thing I will still take our man, Mr. Graham, to part four is just how he said, because, I mean, there's always a better way of saying, you know, would you mind repeating the question in English for the benefit of the rest of you, or something like that? Something you know, stay in English. But that's neither here nor there. The thing that fucking got me with it was, again, having worked in press rooms over here, like MLS pressers, half of them are just fucking done in Spanish. And if you don't speak it, or, you know, like here in Chicago, like we have Polish guys here with Klopas and some of the, you know, like all these other, like they would just do it. And there was never any stopping it. There was never any. It was just like, all right, well, I don't know what the fuck's going on for the next 3 minutes. So I'll just I'll sit here and start writing my follow. And that way I can file my story 8 minutes after I'm done and get the fuck out of here.
See if it'd been a friendly. Then that would have been that's how it would have been done. Yeah. It would have been Dutch journalists can ask in Dutch, and the English or British journalists would speak English. Had it been a friendly, that would have happened.
Yeah.
But because UEFA there, and last night, right, incidentally, folks, I think UEFA can do a little bit overkill. You know how the famed UEFA match observer?
Yes.
Holy sh! Incidentally, there's a guy just went past my fucking house in Kilwinning on a Segway.
Uh-oh.
Where the the fuck has he stolen that from?
It's happening.
It's happening.
It's happening.
Where the fuck has he stolen that from? If you are short one segue, folks, I've just spotted a gang winning with it. Right?
David's going to get gentrified. There's going to be posh coffee and vegan options in Kilwinning.
Todd, gentrified in Kilwinning, right, will mean that we redo the gallows, okay?
Gentrification means they emptied the ashtrays.
I went to Kilwinning Academy, right, and again, this is one of the weird things when I first moved to Glasgow, because in Scotland, schools are mainly known as high schools, right?
Mm-hmm.
And academies tend to be fee-paying schools. Except in Ayrshire, where all the secondary schools are academies, right? And the Catholic schools are high schools. So, of course, the proddy schools went, well, we're no fucking doing that because it's Ayrshire, right? So you would get up to Glasgow and they'd say, hi, you know, oh, where did you go to school? University. They'd go, where did you go to school? And I'd go, Kilwinning Academy. And you could see all these posh kids going, oh, I don't know that one. Where is it based? And I was like, it's not what you think it is. At my school, I got taught English as a foreign language, okay? So it's not what you think it is. It reminds me of the time Sally went to, of course she fucking did, right? Sally's very jolly hockey stick, right? Proper posh person. She comes from an old money family, right? She comes from Giffnock, which people in Scotland will know is a quite posh area. And she's sitting with us one night, and she said, do you remember? She went to a school called Craigholm School for Young Ladies. That was the actual name of this place, right? Right? Yeah. Exactly. Just all girls school. And she said to us one night, do you remember at school when you had your deportment lessons? And I was like, sorry, what? And she said, you know, deportment and elocution. I went, elo-fucking-cution. And I was like, what? How now, brown cow? She said, no, that's a myth. You don't say that. I said, well, what do they make you say? She says, one of the phrases that you have to pronounce properly is pass the ginger jam jar, George.
That's a voice warm-up exercise.
I know. And I was like, you're fucking kidding me. And she goes,
I say that in the waiting room before I go into studio to record a Benadryl commercial.
Absolutely bizarre. And then I said, right, okay, you said deportment as well. What does that involve? She went, oh, you know, your posture and walking and stuff. I said, did they make you like walk with a book on your head? And she goes, yes. You had to they all had to basically line up, and the teacher would put like a fucking meter stick over their head.
Yeah, yeah.
And they all had to walk in a way that they didn't touch the stick. And I was like, holy shit, my life experience is so different to you. I said, at my school, we had classes like how to avoid a bus mouth for being fucking cheeky to the psychopath. You know, it's like, right, you know, How to get the maximum out of your last roll-up tobacco, right? It's a completely different fucking world, man. Do we have any Craigholm School for Young Lady alumni, by the way? Just give us a call.
Please reach out.
Yeah, let me just make a more general. Do we have any women listening? Do we have any?
No, we do.
Any females?
No, we do. We absolutely do. And, you know, I get pulled up. Look, I made a... I think a sexist comment a few weeks ago, and I got pulled up, which I apologize for. I think I said men something rather than persons, and I did. Right. I got pulled up by a loyal lady.
Todd, I will let you know, fully 6% of our audience is female.
Beautiful. We're doing great work.
It's actually from 7% last month. So, David, obviously you fucked it.
I fucked it. And I apologize. You know, I just, what I would say, the poor wee deals, you know what they're like. They get upset. But anyway, so, yeah, might have been that time, you know. Oh, Scotland, right. We've got that. There's a segue, right. Might have been that time of the month.
My God.
The country I live in is increasingly weird, okay? I'm just glad we don't have guns in this country, right? Because as much as I slag...
It's kind of a bad week to make that reference too there, David.
It's right? Yes, off gym week, as it was known at my school. But, right, Scotland has, and I think perfectly legitimately, Scotland has introduced, you know, the period poverty campaign.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Sanitary products. Yep, it is good. And Scotland's introduced it. And they have appointed someone to run it.
Yes, they have.
And the person they have appointed to run it is a man. Now, right. I know that, these days...
Perfect.
I know it's contentious these days that men... And he did right. come away with the phrase, people who menstruate. No, mate, yeah. women. Okay? We can still say that it's a matter of biology, right? As much as I might want to, and I fucking don't, it seems horrible to me.
There is a community out there that is also biologically compelled to do that, but right. are not not identifying as women. I would just like to make that disclaimer so that we don't go down to fucking 5% women.
Oh, no, I think women are the ones who get slightly annoyed from what I can see, mate. I think it's women. And, of course, now, there are many things this guy might be. He may be a superb administrator, right? He may be a visionary businessman. He may be somebody that can come in and organise your particular line of business superbly. People may love working for him. He may be a great man manager. He cannot, however, understand what it is like to have a fucking period because he is a man. In much the same way as if you have an erection guy, it probably should be a guy who can understand what it's like to have a stiffy, right?
I'm just, you know, setting all that aside, I'm just thinking about the, you know, let's say the dad from Kill Winning who his 14-year-old daughter comes home one day and comes back from school and how was school today, honey? Well, it was great. This man asked me if I knew anything about tampons, you know.
Like, what?
again, I have no frame of reference for this, right? Right? I don't. So, one, I would tend to stay away from that job application. And by the way, yes. I just know I wouldn't want to spend 5 seconds mm-hmm. in the company of any man who wanted right. this job. But,
I think we can guarantee the man's a Partick Thistle supporter.
Sure. Yeah. Yes.
But he's not really interested in results. It's more about the taking part that he's up for. I know what it was like to be a teenager, at least, and you are awkward about fucking everything. Everything, right? Yeah. Everything makes you awkward when you're 14. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you can do about it. And I imagine, again, I don't know, but I imagine that a 14-year-old girl probably doesn't want a hulking great beardy fucking bloke turning up to talk to her about that.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. that's just an assumption. I might be wrong. I don't think I am because a lot of women have told me that.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, at that age, they took the boys and you went with your guy gym teacher and the girls went with mm-hmm. the lady gym teacher. And they didn't really teach you anything, but y'all just sat awkwardly in different rooms for a whole week. And then a friend
of mine, Andrew Lazotte, has this great joke of like, did everyone get sex ed from their gym teachers? Why? The biology teacher is literally right down the fucking hall. Right? You don't need me. The comparison is me, like me walking. Okay, girls, we've got to get cordoned off for a very special speaker today. All right, I'm here to talk about your lady shame. Who's ever seen one of these?
Well, here's the thing at my school. The 6-year girls, you know, the 17-year-old girls got hands-on sex education.
Hey.
He was brilliantly he moved in, or rather she moved in with him. This 17-year-old girl moved in, and of course he pulled the we didn't have a relationship while I was teaching her. She moved in, mate, the day after school broke up, right? So it was either did you meet her at the party that night? You know, it's like, you know, and just decide she's the one. Was there Robbie fucking Williams playing in the background when
mm-hmm.
it happened?
Oh, man. One of our PE teachers who, even as a younger person, I was kind of like, this doesn't seem right, you know. Mm-hmm. And then, as you get a little bit closer to graduating from high school, you kind of start hearing some rumors and whatnot. So he was our gym teacher in fifth grade, right? So age 10, okay? He married a girl from my class.
Oops.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
It is not good.
No. Not a good look.
Okay, it's about
a Republican, though. Just to make once again, it's always projection with them.
Yep.
Grooming. Yep. Everything. It's always projection. Uh-huh.
I had, you know, I have a stepdaughter, right?
Yep.
And when I first moved out with her, and she was lovely from, well, she wasn't lovely, she was a pain in the hole, but she was always good with me. She didn't ever do the, oh, you're not my real dad shit, right? Maybe because I wasn't, as you can imagine, like a, you know, I wasn't going to do that kind of role.
Yeah.
You know, like, this was me fucking 6 months in. Into my rehab, I wasn't going to turn up. You must be fine, right? So we always had a really good relationship because I could talk to, and she knew me actually. I was friends with Sally before we got together, so she knew me during my wild days. So I couldn't pull that back. But if there was a subject that I have never spoken to her about and never fucking will, it's that.
Yeah.
Okay, I am not doing. And I remember wonderfully, my dad is. Very Northern Irish Presbyterian man. He's lovely, right? But, you know, he's from a certain generation.
Mm-hmm.
And my mum made him do the talk with me. And this is exactly how my sex education birds and bees talk with my dad. My dad sat down with me and he said, look, son, I need to talk to you. Yeah, what is it? He goes, right. Right. What it is... Your mother thinks that I should look. Do you know what sex is? I went, yes. He went, right, okay, cool. And he got up and fucked off. And that's the only conversation I've ever had. And then because I was 14, and I'm pretty calm. Anyone who's listened to this will know. Anyone who's met me, I'm pretty calm. A total pons. You know, I wear clothes and funny aftershave and bracelets. Right, I accept it. Total pons. And actually, a good female friend of mine said, I did think you were gay when I first met you till I noticed that you were always staring at my tits. which apparently was the giveaway because I'm a terrible tits there. But she... It's hardwired in her DNA, for fuck's sake. It goes back to caveman days. Not my fault.
And we're down to 4% female listeners.
We're down to 4%.
Yeah, but, there we go.
One of my other female friends actually said to me one time, David, it's okay for you to stare at them occasionally because I am fed up watching you breaking your fucking neck trying to keep it. It's so awkward trying to keep your eye, because I was trying so hard to just look at her eyes. And she said it was off-putting, so she was fine with it. But my dad, when I was 14, I loved Morrissey. Everyone loves Morrissey at one stage. Everyone outgrows their Morrissey stage except Morrissey, basically. This was before he was a racist, right? And, you know, fascist and whatnot. I love Morrissey and I loved Suede, who were the big thing at that time, and David Bowie. And my dad was concerned that I was maybe...
I actually just watched the Simpsons episode last night.
That right. one, yeah, the John Waters one.
Why'd my you dad bring me was, to a gay dad... steam yield?
Yeah. You are the living end.
I don't know.
Homer, you are the living end. And that fantastic line in that where Homer says at the end when he's been reconciled to John Waters and Barney says, oh my God, our lives were saved by a sissy. And Homer says, that is enough of that talk. I don't want to hear that talk. This man is not a sissy. This man is a fruit. and he's like, no, hang on, queer. That's queer. What you like to be called. Right, queer. Right.
You can call me John.
You just call me John.
Or John, yeah.
But my mum, to her horror, found my collection of, and remember, folks, pre-internet, my collection of
your smut mags stud books.
Yeah, right. You know, my stud. One, yeah, my that's the Scottish term for it, scud books. My one-handed... literature, right? my collection of, and she went to my dad and went, look at this is great. My dad went, oh, thank fuck. So my mum was like, what am I gonna do with this? She went, put it fucking back.
I just picture your talk being like Keith Chegwin in Extras. Mm-hmm. Penis. Vagina.
He was just
cock
my dad was
in
just
fanny.
See, I thought it was a wee boy though, because I must admit I just assumed that I didn't know a lot about lady parts, so I sort of assumed it was backdoor shenanigans because that was the only
everyone
hope I
does
was aware of having.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. You know,
there is so much built-in teenage ignorance around what holes do what down there and how many there are, let's be fair.
Well,
so you do that through the thing, and there's another thing? Oh, boy.
Right. I am going to say something very rude, so skip ahead people. Right, skip 5 minutes.
We're down especially, to four. We're down to four.
Just four. Especially not even 4%. Just literally
especially
four.
Especially the four. Especially the remaining 3%. Right, but just I'm about to see that. So this is a trigger warning and a spoiler and all the rest of it. Please skip ahead 2 or 3 minutes. Right, which incidentally is quite an accurate timing of my lovemaking.
Jesus Christ.
But I actually think that is God's great cosmic joke, right? Because when you're 14 and you're getting with a lady and a lady's getting with a guy, right? And as a bloke at that age, especially now because, you know, the internet, but your experience of that sort of thing, you know, that unpleasantness, is it comes from porn films, right? Which are not the most accurate guide. So because you don't really know lady parts. I remember this. You're engaging in what I think is termed mutual masturbation, right? And as a bloke, you take your digit and you think, right, ram it in as hard as possible, right?
Oh, no.
So you basically, you know, you take your finger and you go, fucking yes, tear, right? And the girl goes, Jesus Christ, right? And you go, oh, she must be loving it because she sounds exactly like in the films, right, as you fucking batter her cervix. And then she touches you, and she thinks, I'll lift it up a little bit, and then I'll yank it right down, and you go, Jesus Christ!
Like getting the last bit of ketchup out of the bottle.
Exactly, and she thinks he must be loving it. So we've got all these fucking teenagers going about with bruised downstairs because we don't fucking talk to them about this stuff.
Well, that's why you need a period integrity officer, David.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And look, I get it would be, but then again, in Scotland, we now want to tell kids, you know, at 2 years old about homosexual techniques. So maybe we're going too far in the opposite direction. I think we should probably just balance it a little.
Well, your story is very compelling, Mr. Jackass.
We're Morning Zoo. We're Morning Zoo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, I think it's a good time to take the break here. Let's just
let's tell off.
Yeah, we're gonna hit the reset button.
Okay. I have a political
story coming up.
Right.
So, Todd, I'm like Boy George. I would rather have a cup of tea.
God. All right, we'll be right back.
And have your own world. It helps to make friends. It's good to meet girls.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, welcome back in to the Crowpod. Quick notes here. Of course, scroll down the show notes, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link if you love all of David's stories, and by God, we all do, don't we? Yes, 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 yes. Hit the Buy Me a Coffee link. Give us a hand. Again, every month, Actually, like I said, this month we're giving away two little gift packs from the Famous. So all you got to do, you sign up, you support the show, become a member, whatever. And I draw everybody's names out of a hat there at the end of the month. And yeah, that's it. And let's see, who else have we got?
How come I don't get any at the start of this show? How come I don't get free shit? Because
you get tons of free shit already. Jesus.
No, I don't.
Christ.
No, I don't. I don't. Hey, actually,
David, you're holding shit.
David,
not free shit.
You can take this way.
No, I do not get much free shit because, like, especially with like Rangers products, I always say honorably, right? No, no, guys, I'll pay for it. And they always go, oh, great. And you're like, no, no, you're supposed to say, no, I insist that you don't pay for it.
Have you met Rangers?
No, no, not right. Your Rangers. No, they can fuck off. The amount of stuff I do for them that you know, I'll get my reward in heaven.
There we go. Speaking of getting your reward in heaven, go help out the Beats and Cancer charity.
Yes, do that.
I gotta give a shout out to the Sons of Struth youth football teams, our friends over at Copeland Streetwear, and of course our friends the Famous there with Graham, who are, again, they will give you shit if you just, you know, help out the show. It's pretty easy. It's not bad. It's not bad. And actually,
if you become a sponsor,
you get like some. I will send you personally a Christmas present every year.
Wow.
I will send Charles Green round to your house. With the Christmas post.
No. We had the Champions League music last night, so finally he's fucked off.
Yes. I'll tell you what, man. There was a thing on Saturday there. I was watching the Mariners game. They were down playing the Texas Rangers. See, I had my lovely full day of sport bookended by Rangers. And the Mariners are down there, and at one point there were some pigeons occupying the base path between like first and second, who just didn't give a fuck. J.P. Crawford was trying to go from first to second, and the pigeons just, nah, man, run around me. And I was like, the pigeons are like a drunk Jack Irvin. They have confused Ibrox for the Texas Rangers Stadium in Arlington. They don't know where the fuck they're
absolutely.
At.
I actually have some disturbing news for you two from Ibrox last night that will refer back to those halcyon days that Shane has just referenced. So we're sitting there in Ibrox last night, and the pre-match music at Ibrox hasn't really changed much over the last sort of 6 months or so, right? And it's not bad, I have to say. So you'll get Time to Pretend by MGMT, which is a great song and sounds brilliant in a stadium. You get, and this is probably the best development in my time supporting Rangers, that now you get Joy Division and The Cure played pre-match at Ibrox, right? You get Love Will Tear Us Apart and Friday I'm in Love. You get, you know, Belinda Carlisle, yeah, the stuff you can imagine. But then last night, this sort of kind of, you know, those like drums start up and then the keyboard accordion noise, right? And I'm like, and then, yes, I was like, it can't be, but it was. It was the Andy Cameron song, I Am a Blue Nose Loyal and True. I'm proud to wear the red, white, and blue. Strong as an ox with standards high, I'm a teddy bear till the day I die.
Oh,
and everybody just looks at each other and goes, this is not a drill. This is not a drill. We are playing the Andy Cameron song. And I was like, fuck, all we need now is Nuno Capuccio to be warming up. Who decided that?
Since Fair was back in the house, we might as well give him some Fair to chew on, I guess, right? There you go.
They should do us for that. Even I couldn't object.
Oh, man. the mics on the Paramount thing are pretty, well, they were a little bit more attuned into the crowd, but I don't know that they could have gotten us for anything last night.
No, they couldn't. No. There wasn't anything night they could have done as well. No.
Well done, everybody.
I was also they changed the well done to the Broomlin, who burst out with the John Lundstrom song for the first time and changed it to Champions League, which is perfectly sensible. There are Rangers supporters I know who want us to lose next week going to the Europa League purely so they can get the Lundstrom song back.
I'm so happy that our support did not do that, because now we can sing all the songs we want here. All together now, boys! 3, 2.
Well, I mean, come on, we got Hibs at the weekend. I'm sure we can find a.
It's true. Oh,
find
yeah,
a
yeah,
few
yeah.
moments there a in there.
There might be a couple of old spiritual Hibs at that game. Yes, there might yeah. be one.
Well, once again, well done the SFA and the SPFL from learning anything from 2008 besides fuck a Huns and making us play while PSV get to go put their feet up on a Sunday and relax.
Yeah. yeah.
So
thanks, guys.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Hold on. Wait. We hold the highest percentage of coefficient points of any top 10 nation. You know, our club has done more for its country than any other country in the top 10. And yet,
the country that hates us.
Yeah. Basically,
choose Hibs. You know what? Their marketing plan has worked. The SFA and SPFL got together and chose Hibs for us this weekend instead of letting us postpone it. I'm sure there won't come a point later in the season where, you know, let's say another club wants to push a match back. That won't happen.
No, that would be crazy.
Well, that wouldn't comport with sporting integrity, David. I mean, come on.
I love the fact that on our feed, I was watching on DAZN, and the announcer made the point of saying the Dutch FA said, "Nope, no match for them this weekend because of this."
Yeah. So, that's because we both had like the European. Because we have the same one here, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think that maybe, are you sure, Tom? I think the Dutch FA says, by the way, I have to apologize to Todd, because the battle fever kicked in yesterday. I was getting ready for the game, so I had to take it out on somebody. And Sally was just baffled when I started ranting at her about being Dutch, because she isn't. Whereas I thought, oh, Todd is. So I just immediately, and I want to apologize, especially for that bit where I said to you that, you know, about your record in World War II. That was offside. You know, I'm sorry that they took your bikes. Could have put up a bit more of a fight, right enough, but, you know, who in Europe couldn't bar the Russians, really?
I love that he's taken on the role of the Canadian and apologizing. That's not...
Normally it's
like a Basil Fawlty. Oh, I made the mistake. You know,
I was wrong. It's not your fault that you fought so poorly and surrendered so quickly. It's your granddad's fault. It's not yours. I just wanted to. That was the thing when Shane actually said, "There's some good news about where we are because we're beating some actual real podcast, like fucking ESPN. They've got a lot more money than us, folks."
We should
not be beating an ESPN podcast.
No,
let me just put that.
I get a hockey shirt once a year.
Craig Burley's on that, so suck on those eggs, Craig.
Oh, Jesus, there we
three middle-aged idiots having a laugh should not be beating an ESPN podcast.
I think the sum total of shows released that last week might have assisted, but
Shane actually did send us the good news of it yesterday, and we were all pretty happy. And I said, "Well, you know, do they have World War II analogies every 7 minutes? No.
Yeah.
Here's Jimmy Carter endlessly for the past 2 years. Absolutely not.
Since we enjoy a little bit of politics on this thing, I'd like to engage on local municipal politics a little bit.
Todd. I'm not entirely sure the listeners do.
Sure, this is lovely. I'm putting this out there. I haven't told the missus yet, but I'm going to move to Peterborough, Ontario, and here's why. This has been happening recently, David. In recent memory, have you had a spate or do you even remember a British politician being caught swearing anywhere? Like, do they typically don't do that? Like, it's a very they're very kind of courteous, you know, in that regard, and they do not swear, and they watch their tongue.
They do get occasionally, well, more than occasionally, caught saying stupid things, but yeah, you're right, it's as if they have a kind of swearectomy when they go into it, and they don't tend to.
Because in by the way, quick aside, Rockport got a nice shout out in the Rockford got a Rockport is near a town near my parents' place. Rockford got a nice shout out in the Bear first episode.
Oh, yeah.
We started watching that, and lovely. It's like, you know, of course, you know, admittedly, it's nerds about to play a video game, but that's fine.
If you haven't noticed, there's a whole program based in Rockford that's currently on Amazon right now. So if you guys,
which one's that?
A League of Their Own, the new League of Their Own.
Yes.
Oh, beautiful. Is it any good?
Because
I love the movie.
It's not. Yes. I enjoy the movie more. You know, I mean, I'm getting through it. Because, you know, obviously it's local right. flair and whatnot. It's good. It's well acted. I can see why it's doing very, very well on Amazon. I have a hard time mm-hmm. watching baseball films or shows in general.
Really?
Yeah. Well, because there aren't that many good ones. Are
Major
there?
League.
Yes. There's right.
Old Durham.
Right. But there's a reason. Field there's a reason that we watch the same five or six baseball films, isn't there?
Well, there isn't that other.
There are a ton. Yes, there are.
Are there?
Yeah. See,
I guess I don't know exactly. I guess because I just
want to know right there. But no, it's yeah. I mean, if you guys are looking for something, if you're done with Better Call Saul, okay. you don't know what the hell to do. Check it out.
Right.
It's pretty good.
I'll give it a look.
I wish I would have filmed a little bit more of it here, but you know, whatever.
Yeah. So there has been there was a documented case of Beto O'Rourke,
fantastic,
calling a guy a motherfucker in his
yeah, table, which was actually, you know, just to give this context before Todd, mm-hmm. he was talking about, you know, how the AR-15 is a gun, and it is. I don't care what any fucking gun nut says, it's a chassis mm-hmm. based off of a weapon that the military designed specifically to kill people in the jungles of Vietnam. It's yes. made to explode a skull yes. shooting through yes. dense jungle from 400 yards away.
And helmets.
Yes.
To go through helmets. Like,
if anybody wants, I swear to Christ, just find me on Twitter. I will send you the fucking report from the Vietnam era that you know McNamara and his whole group commissioned on just how effective this thing was at destroying people's bodies. But of course, mm-hmm. Beto O'Rourke is saying this, and some guy starts laughing. And he points, he's like, I don't, what was it? It's not funny to me, motherfucker, or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was like, thank you. Yes, that is the appropriate way to talk to these people, because all they're going to do mm-hmm. then is go, oh my, I can't believe the language he's using. It's like, are you fucking kidding? Have you heard the dipshit that you guys are trying to put up for president again? I mean, how many times do you call Hillary a bitch? Just that yeah. alone, let alone all the other dumb shit he says about people. Ugh. Anyway, yeah. Todd, you're local yes. persons.
So, so you had that.
Yeah.
You know, and that lovely moment is like, I don't find that funny, motherfucker. Yeah. Like, just, yeah. it's brilliant. Like, I would put it on t-shirts. Yeah. Like, it's just, it's so great and solid. So we have, Canada is not immune to all this idiocy. So we have a self-proclaimed Queen of Canada.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Heavy on the Q in Queen. Romana DiDullo is her name. Or has she been penned by people much smarter than her, Queen Dildo. Yeah.
It works.
Yeah, Pierre Poilievre is now also the King Dildo, you know, and every shot of him is beautiful. So she was in Peterborough and had a whole bunch of followers there. And for her backstory is that she was arrested and detained by police because she was telling her followers to shoot to kill healthcare workers yeah. because they were, you know, following mandates yeah. and stuff. So they gathered in Peterborough, and the hordes of people there were supposed to arrest the Peterborough police for enforcing vaccine mandates. So they're making citizens arrests, and they were, quote, waiting for the militia to show up. Yeah. It was just going to magically appear like fairy dust. And there was, like, hats off to the guy in the orange hospital mask that picketed them. Just walked around them with a vaccine safe lives thing. And yeah. just when they were trying to heal him with the power of Christ, he just kept saying, Hail Satan, Hail Satan. It was fucking gorgeous. It was cinematic brilliance. And then, as you can expect, so, you know, the Queen Dildo, she shows up and she's about to address the thing, but she stayed in her trailer because, as you can well imagine, the Peterborough police did not want to be arrested for anything. In fact, they went and said, well, that's our job, and did that. So they took down the organizer. They arrested a whole bunch of people for, you know, disturbing the peace and the whole bit. And this is why I'm moving to Peterborough, because the mayor of Peterborough, Diane Terrien, was silent for quite a while about this whole thing that was going right. on. And then she posted her comment in this tweet, and it is thus. I'm reading it directly. People have been asking me to comment on the events of the past weekend in Peterborough. I hate giving airtime / spotlight to these imbeciles. Here is my comment. Fuck off, fuckwads.
Well, you know my views on people who care about where their tax dollars or tax pounds go. You know, it's just... it's one step from that to writing yeah. to in the UK, and I'm sure you've got equivalent newspapers over there. It's one step from that for complaining about how much you were charged at a roadside cafe for a cup of tea and a scone.
Yeah, yes.
Right? That's
yep. And that's front page news for the Mirror. Yes.
Yeah, right. You don't want to be that guy.
Well, see, so, right. You know, we've had a fun week since the horrible, unprecedented raid on Mar-a-Lago for...
Right.
I think that the unprecedented part that they keep leaving out is that he clearly sold nuclear technology to the Saudis, which is how Jared Kushner got $2 billion in cash.
Yes.
But, you know,
yes.
Well, I'm sure, look, they'll get to that because, I know Merrick Garland probably first came to your attention, if he did at all, as the guy that they wouldn't confirm as a judge. But he is career DOJ down the line. And David can acknowledge this, you know, from coming out of the back of Watergate and everything else. If you want a job, say, as a Supreme Court justice or the attorney general, you don't bother the current or any ex-presidents.
No.
Because no one will ever hire you for those positions. And Garland, yes, his entire career, has been a man willing to toe that line up until whatever this tipping point was. But of course, the psychos have got, well, what? We had the guy try to go shoot the FBI office in Cincinnati. We had the ones at the FBI office in Phoenix. And then there was this man named Adam Kenneth Campbell, who got on Truth Social, because obviously he's banned from, you know, everything else.
Yep.
In a series of messages, you know, here's some of the highlights. I sincerely believe that if you work for the FBI, then you deserve to die.
Nice.
Come and get me, you piece of shit feds. I can't wait to watch you bleed out, you pedophile scumbags.
Oh, pedophile
and
scumbags.
Come and get me, you piece of shit feds. I'm going to fucking slaughter you.
Hmm.
Now.
Seems okay. Nice, pleasant.
Yeah. 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 Guess who got his bluff called and is sitting in a prison right now? Yeah. See, this is the thing these are the people, they're like, I know who's going to win the Civil War because we've got all the guns. It's like, well, no, hold on, because all you talk about all the time is how all the black people in Chicago have guns, and they're the ones that actually use them to kill people. Like, that's your whole MO, so that's not possibly
practice,
true.
Not cosplay, you dumb motherfuckers.
Well, and also, as I've said, Tony Judd said this fantastically in Postwar, just to paraphrase, is like the whole power in the modern state is vested in its willingness to exert, you know, lethal force on the rest of the society. And typically, like, I mean, you know, the guy who did the Cincinnati thing, like, he's dead. Threatening federal officers and I don't know, you know, military. Like, I know that there's a lot of these crazy fucking Proud Boys and whatever embedded throughout our law enforcement and military. But you're still going to lose because they have tanks,
guns,
and drones and other things that will kill you.
They have gone to boot camp and have trained hard. You fuck around on the weekends on a farm.
My precious antique can.
Why do I keep putting them there?
It's going to be, I mean, you've got to give the lads in 1860 a bit of credit because they had separated quite sensibly into North and South.
Yeah.
Nice and simple. Yes. Yours is going to be more like the Russian one, which was a bit difficult.
Yeah.
To sort out who was what and who was where, so maybe you can hand out bibs.
Yeah, I mean, the problem for, you know, like, if you show up with 200 people to try to surround an FBI office, they're going to pick you all out pretty easily. Yeah,
they're going to arrest you. Yeah, and you're going to go to jail for quite a long
time. Well, the thing of it is, all right, you know, granted, you're white, you can get away with it for a little bit longer. I mean, obviously, you know, as we saw in 2020 and last year, even, you know, if people, darker skinned people, tend to do this kind of stuff, the police tend to use, you know, they like to call it less lethal force, but shooting beanbags into someone's chest from 20 feet away will still kill them. But the problem, if you keep doing this, eventually they just fuck it. You know, you end up with a Kent State situation. We're like, just shoot them. Fuck this. I'm done.
Yes. Why do they keep putting flowers in the barrel of my rifle? I'm fucking sick of this.
See when it happens, though, right? In the UK, we are going to just sit and, I mean, there'll be plenty of people who, you know, side with the Nutters and whatnot. But in the UK, I think what's most likely to happen is that people will adopt my approach of just shaking our head sadly in our red coats and saying,
yes, yeah,
we warned you.
It is funny that, like, there's pockets that are so fucked up that a Cheney is not, you know, reactionary conservative enough for these people anymore. Mm-hmm.
Yes. She has a horrific voting record. That should have got her through.
Yes. Sister's a lesbian and she has voted time and again to just disregard her rights as a person.
Yeah. What is that Thanksgiving dinner like? Like, honestly.
What I find really kind of odd about this situation is, you know, we're going to have a civil war. Okay, why? Well, because our country's been taken away from us. Okay, well, what is it you want? Well, you know, things.
And you're like, right. Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah. Things? Please say it. Just go ahead and say it.
You know, just say it. Yes. You basically want to be left alone in peace.
You want to be able to say the N-word in public without anybody saying
yes. Stop that. By the way, you still can.
Yeah, 100%.
You still can, right? No one will do business with you except for other fucktards like that. So go ahead.
And apparently you guys have the silent majority again, so it shouldn't be a problem continuing to conduct business after you go around calling everyone an N-word.
On the plus side, though, it'll make for some great movies.
Yeah. Yes. Right.
I am a bit disappointed that America hasn't quite reached Escape from New York and Running Man levels yet.
We're working on it.
It's coming.
I love that there was a paper or something that came out yesterday, within the past month, but media finally picked up on it. It was like, could Illinois, Indiana, Missouri become, you know, over the next 30 years, 125 degree hotbeds during the summer? It's like, motherfucker, it's 110 here in the summer. Of course it's going to be that fucking hot in 30 years.
Yes.
We're almost there. It's not far away.
No.
By the way, I watched when I was in Vegas one night. I was tired because it's Vegas. It's a very tiring place. I'm not complaining. But
everything is dark everywhere, but they keep making you move.
You're up all night, right?
So
One the Sunday night, I just thought, no, I'm staying in. Right, the convention was finished. I am going to stay in and order a pizza and in my massive hotel room as they put me in and watch the telly. And Escape from New York was in one of the channels. And I was like, right, I'll watch this. Firstly, I'd forgotten about that American thing of having adverts every 7 minutes.
Yeah. Right? Yes.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. We in the UK, it's generally about 15 to 20 minutes before you get an ad. So if it's a one-hour show.
You watch that on AMC.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Like, I did. And it was
The first Lord of the Rings is a two-day affair continuously on AMC.
I absolutely love the American adverts, right? Because they're different. Over here, we have the Advertising Standards Agency, and they're pretty strict about what you can do.
We can advertise fucking anything.
No, you can have and
except for cigarettes. You can't advertise cigarettes anymore.
Right, exactly.
But you would like pills, right?
Oh, so yeah.
They come on and they're like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, I started.
If you're cock soft right now, please call us. We'll get this to you in 20 minutes.
wait. What's that number?
There was one that was on quite a few times. It made me laugh, right? And it was like, you know, some herbal thing that would relax you, right? Kind of not CBD, but they said it's a herbal product that will relax you. And then at the end, the voiceover comes. It's like, this product may not work and can cause
claims endorsed by the FDA. Well.
can cause
children to be attacked by lions. May.
I mean, to be fair, our actual drugs sound like may increase risk of lung cancer, heart cancer, breast cancer, fucking might kill you of a heart attack. Yeah. You might just contract AIDS. Do not continue drinking if you start bleeding from your eyeballs or your dick. Please, you know, like consult your doctor. That was...
Yes. Do not taunt Happy Fun Ball.
Yeah. Everything's like the cornballer in Arrested Development. That's all.
Yes. Yes.
What a show. But that reminds me of the first time I ever took an ecstasy pill as the
name. Oh, yeah.
And at the time, it was 1992, and there was a lot of press furore about ecstasy and people dying from it, right? And yeah, I'm 14 and I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm going to do this, but I'm a touch concerned. So I said to the dealer when I was buying it, By the way, folks, see the biggest myth, by the way, for people who don't take drugs is these drug dealers who will give you the first one for free to get you hooked. I have never had a drug dealer.
No. Anything. Yeah.
Never, ever happens.
But David, you do know the people who say that are like these anti-drug crusaders who clearly never did it. And also, if they ever did, they bought it from someone who was like just giving them a bag full of baking soda because they knew this person had no fucking idea what they were doing when they got
100%. Right? It never. If you're one of these people,
so say, no, you weren't. Your fucking lungs just shut down. You dumbass.
Same with people about cannabis or marijuana. They'll say, but what will happen is the drug dealer will sell you that, but then he'll give you some heroin to get you. No, he will not. Right?
Thanks for buying this nice little eighth. Oh, by the way, here's some heroin for you a writer.
Never ever have. Similarly, and I do feel for the parents of people who have taken drugs and sadly died. Yeah. They always come out and say it was the first time they ever took
it. It was not.
Really sorry, but it wasn't.
And also, your daughter didn't get knocked up the first time she had sex. Sorry.
I'm sorry, but it didn't happen. But so I said to the dealer, I was like, right, in the papers, that people are dying from this shit. How do you know if they're safe? He said, well, take the first one, because I bought three. He said, take the first one, and if you die, don't take the rest.
All right. Yeah.
Pretty solid advice, you've got to admit.
I mean, look, it's better than the advice the government gives you on drugs over here. We kept letting whoever, Purdue or whatever, sell fentanyl for fucking 20 years. Like, that's not killing everybody. Really? Are you sure? Because it looks like drug deaths have spiked as a No, it's fine.
I am not a huge drug gentleman. But I will say that
a Dutchman isn't a huge drug gentleman.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't do them very well. But I will say this: the Chemical Brothers concert I went to is probably in my top three for some reason. Can't put my finger on it, but it really was. I felt the music.
Yes.
It was nice.
My problem with drug taking has always been that I'm fucking phenomenally good at it. in the sense that I can, for some reason, maybe tolerate, I don't know, and it's caused problems for me with actual medication, that I've built up a tolerance that, I've got a tolerance of a fucking rhino now, right? But the problem is that because type of personality I have mates who could just take one pill on a Friday or a Saturday night and that would do them, and then they'd be fine to the next week or maybe even the next month or whatever. Just take it, enjoy it, have a good night. I would take one and then go, well, if one is good, five must be even fucking better.
Picture David in like a rage in front of the police and they're just hammering him with a nest of darts and he's like, finally, I haven't felt this alive in years.
And you're sort of 2 days into it, right? And you're wondering why you're not as high anymore. Because, like, see, drugs or alcohol, the fun part is when you move from being sober to not being sober anymore. But you spend the rest of the time
chasing
that feeling,
right?
Yeah, chasing that. The lurch from from sober into drunk is the fun part. But then, of course, you just get worse and worse. And my problem is, see, if I just fell asleep after 8 pints, right? Like my mate too. Unfortunately, I didn't fall asleep. I went on for 3 days. So people would say, I'm not good. We drank a few drinks and that's me. I fall asleep. I'm like, no, you are. Yeah, that's
supposed to do.
Yes.
Well, it's you're kind of, good with drink.
There's a comedian who sometimes is funny and sometimes is ignorant as fuck by the name of Theo Vaughn, who had a great line in one of his specials. I think it was the Roy Wood Jr. special thing on Comedy Central.
Right.
He's like, I don't have a problem with drugs and alcohol. I have a problem when I'm on drugs and alcohol.
Yes. I have friends and a whole bunch of other comics I've seen do this one. It says I'm allergic to alcohol. Every time I have it, I break out into black eyes, broken teeth, and jail. It's like something like that. When I say I'm bad at drugs, it's like I run the risk of like my brother went to school in Peterborough, right? Fuck off, you fuckwits. We had a marijuana cigarette before his show.
Oh my God.
And my problem is that I get copper mouthed on weed. Yeah. So I went to the place and went, oh, I got to get this taste out of my mouth. And then I took a pint of whatever they were serving at the gig that he was playing at. And I went, oh, they haven't cleaned the taps. I'm going to try the next tap. They had six taps. I ran the taps trying to get the copper out of my mouth. And so he finishes his set and I go, I'm going to go to the home where you live now. And ran my way through that. But here's the other thing too, that I will give myself credit for this. As much as I don't do weed that often, and when I do, it's fine. It's not my high of choice, but I will do it from time to time, and it's not bad. I will say this. I am not a panicky guy at all. I don't get paranoid. I don't know how I came with this, but when I get stoned, and really it's on any chemical. I've never sort of had the bad trip or anything that I've ever had. I've always kind of been kind of centered. But when I get like high on weed, it's I will just sit there and go, well, I guess this is happening. Like I got high at a friend's house in Rhode Island once. We were going to a bar afterwards and everyone had a little bit of Mary Jane before we went. And I went, okay, guys, I got to go to the bathroom. And I knew as soon as I went down this long hallway, what seemed to be like a long hallway. And apparently it wasn't. It was like 5 feet. But when you're stoned, it's like, I went on a journey.
Yep.
And I got in there. And I locked the doorknob and I could tell it was going to cause me bother. It's one of these things where you got to like, okay, like it would be that like if the owner of the place was there, it's like, okay, that you got to pull up the lock and then you got to jiggle it. And then, so I knew as soon as this was going to happen, I was like, this is going to be a problem. And I go to the bathroom and doesn't the snap from my jeans fall off?
Oh, fuck.
And so now I'm like, oh boy, here we go. So I'm like, could be panic stations for anyone else, and go, well, this is my life now. So I'm going through their cupboards trying to find a safety pin, and I find one. So then when you're stoned, trying to operate a safety pin is fuck, not, and it's right
to operate the door handle to get into the bathroom in the first place, isn't it?
Right. So I finally got that going and I was like, okay, good. And then we got to deal with the doorknob. And so I'm like, okay, here we go. And I'm literally breathing and I can hear them talking in the driveway outside the window. So I can hear them. It's like, boy, Todd's taking a little while. It's like, okay, yeah, I got to go. And so it's like, takes me what seems like 20 minutes to like finagle and fist and twist and twist. And then I forgot how to leave the house. So I'm trying to figure out which one that is. And I just go like, this is what's happening. This is it. And then I come out and go, so I figure I've been gone for 45 minutes, right? And as soon as I get out, my friends go, Todd, what happened to you? You've been gone for like 4 minutes now. I was like, oh, okay, thanks. Time folded apart.
Just disappeared.
Yes.
No, I mean, like alien abduction.
Completely. You just completely and utterly lose time, bearings, sense, memories of the 1990s. Everything just completely drops out when you're in that state. I was the same. I was never really one for paranoia, but I didn't like, you know, I was never a big marijuana fan because I like drugs that completely fuck you up, right? That was my thing.
See, well, yeah, marijuana is like a confusing spice.
Yeah, exactly.
There are strands and varieties, I think, that could get you to exactly where you need to go.
Scare the hell out of me now.
Yeah, I
want shit that somebody found in a ditch. Like, I don't, you know.
Looking back, though, I used to have this thing, and I don't even know where the fucking idea came from. But whenever I took E or Charlie or whatever, right, I would drink vodka and Red Bull.
Nope.
To try and, I don't know, bring it up or whatever. And now I look back and go, I could have fucking died, man. I mean, yeah. Why did I not have a heart attack? Because I don't have the best diet, right? Nope. And
established this.
Yeah, and I'm not the, you know, I don't exercise. I find a wee bit sort of middle class. So I just don't understand where the thinking of that was
There's a thing with it was like I think before, let's say like the Four Loko era of energy drinks, you know, when it was just like Red Bull and stuff. Before people were like, I wonder what would happen if I put alcohol in this. There were about 2,500 to 3,000 ER visits in America per year that somehow related to an energy drink type situation, right?
Once
people started putting alcohol in it, that more than quadrupled within about 18 months because it's not a good thing to mix. Oh,
It's kind of like, you know, it's like adding liquid nitrogen to something and then going, wow, that wasn't a good idea. that wasn't the best idea. But, you know, like, we're older, experienced. And can we just say, as a disclaimer, look, if you want to take drugs, don't listen to us and think it's fun, because, you'll have some fun, but then you'll have the following day, which, can I just point out, is the least fun thing in the whole fucking planet.
And also have fun making entirely new relationships, because everyone that you used to have all gone.
Right.
People won't like you very much, and they won't find you as hilarious as you find yourself when you're high, and nor will they want to listen to you go, I want to die, when the fear kicks in the following day.
Questions. Right. Yes. Quick shout out here. Quick shout out here, our friend Mark Boyd. He's got the recovery and repair physical therapy there in East Kilbride. So if you need if you need that kind of stuff, you can find them on Facebook. Mark's been a good CrowPod listener going back to the original days. So look him up there on Facebook. Let's see, a lot of let's get the football ones out of the way here first. We had a couple of people, Dell and David Clavidan, both. I think David works best here. Can any of the three of you defend fucking corners? Now, David on the far post, which we didn't have for the second goal last night.
Don't think it. Look, much as I am a post advocate, I carry a post about with me at all times, just in case. be on it. That header was perfect. We couldn't have defended it better. But once he got to it was going in, because it's the underside of the bar. It's absolutely perfect. What the problem was is A, nobody leapt, and B, nobody blocked the run. That's the whole point.
He got to run off three people, and then both of our center backs just stood there and watched him jump and went, oh shit, you can do that?
Yeah. Oh, look, none of the center backs are not going to win against a guy who's got that run.
No.
But it's as simple as that.
Which is why you get in front of him before.
Yes.
You're not going to win from a standing start against somebody who's got that run. So it's just not going to happen. You need to do the block, and that allows the center back to go and win it. And people are going on about, oh, Zono, we should just return. And you know me, guys. I'm, 4-4-2, men on
post. No, fucking man mark, men on post.
But everybody does this now. I mean, 99% of teams, top teams, have a mix of zonal and men. That is what they do. The problem isn't the system. The problem is Rangers did the system really, really badly. And this is something that's come up a lot, and maybe it's old-fashioned, but it is true. PSV were fucking huge. And again, we have got this thing of signing little tiny people.
See, but that's the thing. I mean, if you're going to do the straight zonal thing, you have to have players that are at least within like 4 or 5 inches of height of everyone on their team. And I mean, this is only going to get worse when, our nice new Turkish left back enters in, because, he's I'm pretty sure Borna can just fold him up and carry him around in his pocket.
He's a post guy.
Yes, he is. Much like Stephen Davis would have been on the far post.
Yep. Yeah.
Although, he might not have stopped it, but he would have been there. Nah, God damn it.
He would have been there. Yep. He would have been there, and it would have, I'd have felt better. But someone like Yilmaz is going to be no use to you apart from, as you say, on the post. But at least we haven't done what Manchester United have done. And the proper land of the giants that is the EPL. I mean, we saw it when West Ham and Tottenham were here. I remember thinking, Son, the Tottenham player, you see him in the EPL and you think, he's
I've always 5'5" and 130 pounds.
Yeah, you're like, no, he is absolutely not like that. It's just in that league. Manchester United, for reasons best known to themselves, which kind of sums up
everything that they're doing right now.
They've signed a 5'8" centre back, and I don't want to be that guy. I really, really don't. All joking aside, I don't want to be that guy who said, he's too weak to play there, but he's too weak to play there. And it was rather exposed at the weekend when Brentford's enormous and quick striker, Ivan Toney, literally just moved him out, literally picked him up and moved him out of the way and ran with the ball. And it's like, it's not. Well,
there really isn't a single match. I mean, Jesus, him against Holland, him against Mirotic or whatever from Fulham. I mean, he'll fucking ragdoll him. Jesus Christ.
Kane will ragdoll him. Antonio will ragdoll him.
Well, it doesn't help that you got an incompetent fucking donkey standing there next to you.
Yes. low center of gravity helps you in so many situations. Defending against a 6 foot three forward is not one of them.
No, it'll be. You know what they'll have to do? They'll have to do the counterman. They'll have to shove him into defensive midfield. To get anything from him, because you just. And look, I hate to be, as I say, I hate to be that guy. Because you know talent is talent, and he's a great passer of the ball, and he's good in one on ones. But these big bastards were just run over the top of him.
Well, I mean, even a smaller guy, like what's his name? That Arsenal added, Jesus there. I mean, that man is just a ball of fucking muscle, you know? I mean, you saw what he did to their back line a couple of times. And those were the ones he didn't score from.
That was incredible. See that Brentford versus Manchester United game? Yes. I was at the football, and you know, after the press conference and stuff, and we came out of it, and Martin said to me, just you know, in the passing before we recorded our video, he said, 1-0 Brentford. I went, oof, already, you know, that's a bad one.
Right.
So then we record our video and do all the process, and it took about half an hour, right? So Martin goes, it's 4-0 Brentford. And I went, fuck off, what is it really? And he went, it's 4-0 Brentford. And you're like, oh my God. Now, the thing about this is, having watched the two games, and by the way, people had told me how bad Man U were. I watched Match of the Day with my expectations calibrated for that, and they were worse. Yeah. I was still shocked by how bad they were. That they've played Brighton and Brentford, who are, you know, decent. Okay, you know, they're decent. They're not going to be they're not going to be in any relegation trouble. Manchester United haven't lost to these two teams because they nicked a goal and defended well. They've gone out and completely outplayed them. They've got Liverpool.
Liverpool, who have their own problems, but should, I think, fairly easily dispatch. I mean, I'll tell you what. I mean, if you want to get your season back on track, you're Liverpool right now. You would not ask for anything, because one, you're going to be able to get up for it, and two, they are fucking garbage. I don't know if it was the second or third one. It was a United had a corner, and you kind of think, all right, you know, and it was like their first decent passage where they actually held onto the ball. They got a corner out of it. You're thinking, okay, well, you know, at least we're getting a chance. And Brentford take the goal kick, and two touches later, it's in the net. It's like, wow, that is, that's not good.
I mean, the goal, obviously the mistake for the keeper, that's horrible, right? And he is a ghost of a footballer these days.
Oh, De Gea wants, you know, people talk about like what's going on with Ronaldo's head and everything. De Gea does not want to be there at all. He has not wanted to be there. Done, he doesn't want to be on a football pitch. I mean,
He's done as a player. Yeah. And that's actually leads to an interesting point. We were talking about this. Dele Alli, you know, the Everton weren't rid of him already. Yeah. And I said to someone, I said, he should retire. And he said, well, he's only 26. I said, yeah, but he doesn't want to be a footballer. Yeah. So why go on with it? He's made enough money, surely.
It's the Darren Cole thing right there.
Dele Alli is a millionaire several times over. He doesn't want to be a footballer anymore. Retire. Yeah. Go fucking live on an island. Do whatever it is. You be a media punter. Do whatever you want to do, but stop taking money under false pretenses, because you don't want to be a footballer.
Let's see. Wilf wants to know, and Mr. Smiley Face, again, along the same lines here. When the Crowpot 3 going to submit a live television proposal to the SPFL to Gazemp Sky? Yeah. It's incredible. So if you haven't listened, me and David did a show on Friday trying to explain, well, what's going on with this as best we can, because none of it makes any fucking sense. Nope. And since then, we've had the slow trickle out of Aberdeen and that cock Gordon, or sorry, Dick Gordon at Hearts, rather, Hibs, trying to explain the massive benefits of this. I do love, though, that, like, they just come up with this nice round number, like that wouldn't raise any more. They're like, no, we're going to take it from 28.4 million right now to exactly 50. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, how? We're going to do it in 7 years. Yeah, but how? No, but you don't see it's 50 million in 7 years, is it? Look at the big number. Look at the big, and then you go, you know, as me and David talked about, okay, well, that barely keeps up with inflation right now. That 50 million in 7 years is only worth about, I think, 33.5.
33.
And on top of that, you've added a shit ton of matches, which, again, you are going to be paid less per match. I figured out, like, even if you take, okay, let's assume inflation just stops, which, of course, never happens, because there is always inflation, no matter how the economy works. If it stops, I'm sorry, but that means that we're back in the Depression. So, yes. Which is also bad, which is also very, very bad. But if it stops completely right now per match, if we went with this amazing unicorn fucking package that they're putting together, is a 0.8% increase in value per match for the new contract that they're trying to sign 3 years ahead of time for reasons we don't know.
I spoke to a journalist and said, look, I don't understand this, why the club seems so keen to, you know, could you, you know, fill me in? And what he said is basically for the smaller clubs, he said, they're just happy to get the money. You know, they're for them, it's not about growth, it's about survival.
Yeah.
And their view is look, we can plan, if we have this money lower than it could be as it is, we can plan for the next 6 years.
We can plan to go to Anza and get fucking absolutely hammered on live television 7.
But yes. they're not interested in growth, they're interested in, you know, stability, and I suppose you can understand that, but it's like, guys, you're never going to get, you're always going to be hand to mouth if you don't, you know, if you don't ask for a bit more.
Well, I mean, it's the same idea of them not giving us a bigger away allocation just because they don't want to. Well, why?
Yes.
Well, just because fuck you. Okay, but.
Oh, you hate money. Yeah, I'm sorry. See.
You can make, what, 300,000 more pounds? Yeah, but no, we don't. Yeah.
As in, you know, the one with Kilmarnock a couple of seasons ago when they did this to appease their fans, and then the fans, now it cost them something in the region of £350,000. Now, for a club like Kilmarnock, that's three players. Yeah. And they got relegated that year, and it's like, would three players possibly? Now, we don't know, but it wouldn't have hurt, surely. And you might have stayed up. So,
well, I remember the S&P fuckwit from Motherwell there, Andrew Wilson, like back in 2012, telling me, like, oh, well, you know, we can do without 18% of our turnover from last year. So, really? You can? Like, what?
I'm sorry.
What kind of business are you in that you have that much cash reserve just sit there? Oh, wait, you guys don't have any fucking money. And you nearly went bust in 7 years before we came back and started filling your fucking ground again.
Here's
the thing, Andrew. See the Enron book, mate? That's not the lesson you're supposed to take from it.
No. Jeff Skilling went to prison, then died. Like, that's not what you want.
Oh, Skilling, did he die? Did he die?
I don't know. His brother's been the weatherman here in Chicago for like 30
years. That's right, yes.
Tom.
Yeah. Andrew.
Tom Skilling. Sorry. Great man.
Well, you can't judge by the sins of the.
Let's stay with your shows, right? Would you be perfectly comfortable? Let's say like Netflix wanted to come give you a shit ton of money, but there might be a slight risk involved in it, right? But
you
could increase your revenues by. I mean, like literally, some of these clubs you're talking about almost a 75% increase in their yearly turnover. Mm-hmm. If we actually pursued a real television contract, or you could get 1% more over the next 8 years.
No,
it's just common sense.
I mean, I just don't understand. Like, well, and again, if you try it, you don't have to sign a fucking 7-8 year contract every time. I mean, like Apple and Amazon and all these groups are willing to do like 2 years with a ride around a third because they want to protect.
I'm doing that model
they
now.
Protect themselves too, you know.
Yeah. I'm doing this now. Yeah. People listen to this. They go, oh, fuck, he's got an album. They go onto Spotify. I get 8 cents. Yeah. It's beautiful. It's the way it works. That's how the system works.
Nice. That's it.
Like I said, if you got me and David talked about Friday. I talked about it a little bit on our extra show this Monday, too. So if you want to, you just scroll down. There's more Cropod. All the Cropod. Everything Cropod.
Yeah.
All the time.
All Cropod.
Dave Fleming. We'll make this the last one. Dave Fleming wants to know, is the Donald going to jail?
Yes.
It's not, again, as I said, it's everything that they've thought was a stopping point, whether it be, you know, well, they were just coming to retrieve documents. And no, they weren't. Mm-hmm. No, they weren't. And, you know, you have these rapidly progressing cases in New York. I believe his ex-CFO decided to plead guilty in a tax case up there, which, you know, probably doesn't bode well. I do, of course, you know, Trump famously, you know, last week took the Fifth like 443 times in a deposition, which, of course, if you remember back to his campaign, you know, people who plead the fifth are always guilty. Mm-hmm. Was his policy position on that. I mean, he'll probably die before he goes to jail or just, you know, flee the country.
I don't know. There's only so many burgers you can have from McDonald's before it catches up on you. Mm-hmm.
I very easily see him like Saudi Arabia via Belize or something, you know, just how many non-extradition. Mm-hmm. Yep. Montenegro is lovely this time of year from what I hear, you know.
Yep.
Oh, God damn it.
If I may, yeah. I would like to submit the Onion headline of the week.
By all means, Todd. If I may.
I'll let you take this. I think you'll get a nice charge out of it. Texas school censors all of Huck Finn except for the N-words.
I've got one I thought you would both quite like. Department of Transportation allocates $2 billion to finally make nation look all futuristic and shit.
I love the one, the St. Louis one from yesterday. It was, city's primary investment in community comes through police department's wrongful death settlements.
Yeah. This one I thought, I very much thought of you, Shane, when I read it. Report, nothing beats seeing Yankees lose at home. I thought you might like that one.
Well, not to be outdone, here's Reductress headline of the week. Four positions to try that will keep you both facing the TV. Thank you, ladies. Thank you.
Actually, there was another good one too. Monsanto executive threatens to detonate every corn cob in nation unless demands met.
Beautiful. Can I just tell you, I went to the Reductress site. And this made my jaw drop. They're selling a new mug on the reductress.com. A coffee mug.
Chuck mug.
And it said, well, I wish it was. Actually, it would make sense because on the side of this mug, it says, don't talk to me until I've had my abortion.
The Onion had a great one that I loved in its simplicity because I'm always intrigued by language, right, and how you can use, especially punctuation, etc., to make something funnier, which you can. And the Onion had one, and they had one that just said in big letters, "Fuck off, I'm reading the Onion." But the reason it was so funny is that the "fuck off" had a full stop after it. Yep. So it just fuck off. Yes. That is the definitive fuck off. No exclamation mark, just a full stop. Not only are you to fuck off, you're to stay fucked off. There is no comeback to that. Fuck off. I'm reading the Onion.
Mike Pence has tweeted right now, today American freedom is under attack like never before. Big media, big government. I can't even get through all this shit.
Nope.
Oh my God.
What a fuck off.
Yeah. Fuck off. I'm reading about when people weren't quite as mental.
Yeah. Fuck off. I'm listening about Watergate.
Yes.
God damn it. Speaking of, go scroll down, do shows. Me and Todd are going to get together for another desert island. I'll get with you when we get done or sometime later today. We'll figure that out.
Yep.
Me and David are now six episodes in on Watergate. So, you still got time to catch up, but we talked about the media that came out Sunday. So, if you haven't caught that one yet, it is there for you. Again, scroll down the show notes, buy me a coffee. I will next week. Are we gonna go Tuesday? Let's go Thursday next week for the show, right?
The only thing is next week I'm away Tuesday through Thursday for.
We'll figure it out. Whenever us three get together next week, I'm not sure when it's gonna be. I will pick the two winners for this month. And again, you sign up, you go to the Buy Me a Coffee link, and you sign up to support the show in a one-off, or there's like, you know, a monthly debit, just like David does with the Patreon thing you can do. But either way, you get entered, and you get a chance to win free stuff from Graham over there at Famous. And it's kind of nice. Like, our buddy Bobby got, I think, you know, he got like a few pins and some decals.
He did. He was very pleased,
Nice stuff. So there you go. Todd, of course, you can find everything with him at heyitstva.com. Find him on Twitter at heyitstva. Thanks again, Todd.
pleasure as always.
Anything coming up?
We got some live dates actually coming up in September, October, and actually, there's a couple in September. If you go to heystva.com/calendar, they're in the Ottawa area. Help yourself.
There you go. Ottawa people. You know where to find them.
Ottawa peeps.
Ottawa peeps.
That sounds like that. That sounds like that classic song. I'm Ottawa people.
Jesus Christ. David, of course, you can find everything Heart and Hand. And again, you can find me and him talking about Watergate, which you can find in Crowpod or Heart and Hand, wherever the fuck you want to listen to it. I don't care. It's there. Go listen. David, thank you very much.
Pleasure, guys. Always fun.
Absolutely. Let's roll on. Look, we got two matches to win the next week. So let's just let's do that. I mean, it's real. I don't care how we do it. I don't care how fucking ugly it is these next two matches, because the way that our schedule is compacted, let's just win these two. We'll be fine. Everything will be fine. So that's it. We'll talk to you all later. Be good. Have fun. And yeah, that's it. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy.